I'm so glad God's on my side. How about you? And I'm glad that through the things he takes us through, we eventually learn he's not against us, he's for us. So if we just hang in there, he'll work it all out. So be patient. And I thank him too that he's not finished with us, has he? Yeah, he's so patient with us. He understands. I've titled the message today, All Is Well. And we're going to look at Psalm 139. I've been so blessed by this psalm. A few weeks ago I was reading it, and it just made me feel very secure and at peace, because God is completely in control of everything, and yet he knows everything about you. There's nothing hidden from God. He knows you inside out. You're like an open book to him. But he loves you still. That's the good thing. Psalm 139, Tracy. I'm glad that Rebecca shared that testimony, because it was quite graphic of what I want to say today, and I thought if she doesn't share it willingly, she will be sharing it when I get up. So, praise God. He prompted her. On Wednesday, when Andrew was sharing a few things, he was talking about Jonah, and we were talking about Bill was read something from Psalm 139, and I thought, well, just go preach my message here, all of you. But we can all participate, and I don't know if Bill still got what he brought on Wednesday, but it would be appropriate if he has at one point to read it, or if he can remember it, just to share it again with us. He can remember it. Thank you, Bill. Well, the good news is God is intimately acquainted with you. Now, I don't know whether that puts the fear of God in you or if it makes you feel secure. I think it depends where you are, what side of the fence you're on. But be assured that God knows everything about us. There's three big words that we don't often use these days. The first one is, he's omniscient. Our God is omniscient, and that means he knows everything about you. He knows everything about you. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. And he's omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. Now, is there anything else we need? No, there isn't, is there? He knows everything about you. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He goes everywhere with you. He is everywhere, as Bill shared on Wednesday. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful, and he's able to do anything, even the impossible. In fact, that's his speciality. Our God is a God of the impossible. And Rebecca's learnt a lesson in that one this week yet again, and I guess she'll learn a few more before her course is finished. David said, God, I'm an open book to you. There's nothing that you don't know about me, and I'm not sure whether this is good or bad. But we'll read the first six verses of Psalm 139. O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit up, you know when I sit down, you know when I rise up. You know my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high that I cannot attain to it. God is intimately acquainted with you. He knows a word before you're going to speak it. Rebecca said some of this on Thursday when she came home in utter frustration. When she calmed down a bit, she began to think, well, If God knows everything about me, he knew this was going to happen. And he wouldn't put me on this course if he couldn't take me through it. And he knew he could get me through it. And she worked it all out with her mind. But, you know, sometimes we need to sit down and rationalise, don't we? But other times we need to trust God, just to trust and obey. Think about this. He knows your likes. He knows your dislikes. He knows your fears. He knows your attitudes. Whoops. He knows your plans. He knows your dreams. He knows your secrets. Ouch. He knows your struggles. There isn't anything you can hide from him. He knows it. In fact, he knew it before you were born. But he also put within you the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God makes you a champion over everything. Because God is your force. Amen. When you know God, you can overcome every obstacle. Because he is within you to do it. You can fulfill all your dreams and your plans. You can have the right attitude. You can deal with your fears. We've nothing to be afraid of because God is with us. And there is nothing that is stronger and bigger than him. He knows what I'm going to say. He's omniscient. He knows what I'm going to say. You know, there's one thing you can't change. You can't take your words back, can you? Sometimes we wish we could. But it's too late, they've gone. But God knew all about it, and he will make a way where there seems to be no way. He knows when I go out, he's omnipresent. He knows when I leave. He knows when you go and see Roy Joan. And he knows when you get back. And he can see you while you're going. And he's with you while you're visiting. He's there constantly, 24/7. We're never out of his sight. He's behind you, he's up ahead of you, he's above you, he's present with you, he's within you. Can anybody get any closer than that? So why don't we trust him? Why do we have panic attacks? Why do we fear? Why do we think that he's not seen it? Why do we think that our way is hidden? It's not. He knows everything. He's way, way ahead of us. Jonah had a lesson to learn. Jonah chapter 2. Do you know about Jonah, Brendan?
No. Probably heard it before.
Jonah decided that he'd had enough. He wasn't going to do what God told him to do. He decided... that he was going to go and do his own thing. God had told him to go in that direction and preach to those people repentance. But Jonah decided, I'm not doing it. I'm going in that direction. I'm going as far away from God as I possibly can. And he did that. And he got on a ship, and the ship got into trouble. And the waves were humongous. And the end was, when Jonah got on that ship, and everything, all hell broke against that ship, Jonah said, I know why this is happening. You'd better turf me over the side. Just throw me out of this boat, and it'll calm down. And that's exactly what happened. But God had made a way. God had sent a big fish to swallow Jonah. Now, how would you like that, Brendan? Might you be a bit apprehensive?
No.
No?
Yeah, you won't be a bit apprehensive.
A bit scared?
Fish.
You reckon when it come to eat you? I think I'd do that too. Shut my eyes and pull my face. I would not know what to do. Jonah is the minor prophets towards the end of the Old Testament. When the big fish had swallowed Jonah and he knew that he was in trouble, this was his prayer. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The water closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the root of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty, but I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah onto the dry land. That brought repentance mighty quick in Jonah. When he was in the belly of that fish and he got weeds wrapped around his head, and you just cannot imagine, can you? He knew he was going right down to the bottom, to the grave. But he found out one thing, that wherever you are, God is with you. And he found out the truth of this, of verse 7 of Psalm chapter 139. Verse 7 and through to verse 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness isn't dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. The darkness can't hide you from God, because what is God?
He's the boss.
He's the boss. God's light. So what happens when you light, flick a match in the pitch blackness, what happens, Brendan? You turn the light on, and what happens to the darkness?
It goes.
So there can be no darkness where God is. It's always light to him. And Bill gave a wonderful illustration on Wednesday, and I'd just love him to just come and share that again, because it was such a blessing.
Tell a story about a sailor, an American sailor, who was in the US Navy in the Second World War. He went out on a ship called, was it the Wings of the Morning?
Yes.
I think the Wings of the Morning. And it got hit by a torpedo, and almost everybody was killed on it. But this sailor, he had a Bible. And for some reason it fell open at Psalm 139. And he started reading from verse 7 to verse 12. Which Grace has just read, but I'll read it again for you. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in... It says Sheol here, but I think she said hell in that one. Yeah. Behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Yeah. This reminds me of something, actually, something that was being a clever so-and-so like I am at times. You know, we say you strike a light in the darkness and the darkness goes. So it means the light has dominion over the darkness. And I have to counter that. I thought, well, if darkness comes along, it shuts the light out. So it's on an equal footing, but it's not. You know, that was just a silly thing that I passed through my mind. I read once that if there were two mountains 50 miles apart. That's like one ear and another one in Nottingham. If two people stood at the top of them and one struck a light, a match, the person on the other mountain 50 miles away can see it. It's almost unbelievable, isn't it? But it can be.
So this sailor had taken the ship called the Wings of the Morning. And when he read Psalm 139, it said, if I take the wings of the morning and I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I settle at the farthest limits of the sea, which is where he was, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. We need to grasp, folks, that we're not exempt from bad things happening to us. We're really not, but God is saying, yeah, there are bad things going to happen, but fear not, for I have overcome this situation. I have overcome the world. I have made provision for this, and I have an answer. Trust me, I've got an answer. Stay with the program. Jonah learned that there's no hiding place from God. It's no good running in the opposite direction.
You can go to Sheffield and find God.
You can. You can find him in your bedroom. He's even in Sheffield. That's a miracle, eh? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It's amazing this, that no matter how much we read about, I've read this psalm many a time, but it comes to mind that you can read it and people can tell you, but the only way you really learn is if you experience it. Yeah. What's that comment? An ounce of experience is worth a ton of argument. And it is. And that's why our testimony is so powerful. Because if somebody tells you that no, that it's not true, they can never take it out of your spirit, can they? Can never rob you of that experience. Because by that experience, you know that you know that you know what you're saying is true. And that God is who he says he is, and that he does what he promises. And no atheist will ever talk you out of it, because as Tracy knows, she knows that she knows that she knows that God saw her in her helpless state. God saw her on her deathbed, and he said, you're not having a devil, she's mine. And I don't care how close to death she is, I rescued her. I've made provision for her and I've delivered her, and she will live to sing my praises and bring many more into the kingdom of God. She's a testimony, and she's praising God, and I thank God for his faithfulness. We'll look at Jeremiah. In verse 13 of Psalm 109, he says, it was you, God, who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 5, God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. You're a surviving twin. You're blessed. God's ordained you will survive. You were nearly a goner this time. God has got a purpose for your life, Brendan. He loves you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Before you, I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you, Christine, in the womb, I knew you. And all the days that I'd ordained for you were planned before any one of them came to be. And will all be fulfilled in me. Praise God. I think in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, these verse 4s are quite prominent, aren't they? Paul says, just as God chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. He knew you before the foundation of the world. You are so precious to him. He predestined you in love. Love is the strongest force in all the world. The strongest force in the universe is love. And there's one thing love can't do. It can't fail. It can't fail. You can't kill it. Can't destroy it. It's indestructible. It's incorruptible. It will always remain. Why? Because God is love. And God is incorruptible. And God is indestructible. And you can't get rid of God. You can't blot him out. You can't run away from him. You can't hide even in Sheffield from him. You can't hide in the whale's belly from him. You can't hide in hell from him. You can't hide in the deepest sea, and some of those seas are deeper than the mountains, aren't they? But there's nowhere that you can hide from God. You can't go from his presence. He fills everywhere and everything. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows everything about you. Praise God. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. And Job had to learn that lesson. Job chapter 38. We'll read the first few verses up to verse 7. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Do you sometimes think you're in a whirlwind? God, I need to hear your voice right now. He's in the whirlwind with you. And if you, what's that verse? Be still and know that I am God. Where's the quietest, stillest place in the whirlwind? Right in the centre of it. Right in the eye of the whirlwind is the quietest, calmest place. And that's where God says, get into the centre of this. Get to where I am, because I'll speak to you there. That's where you'll be able to silence your spirit, silence your mind, and listen to me. Listen to me. And Job, God answered him out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man, he said to Job. I will question you and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. We were there then. Are you a son of God?
Yeah.
I am a son of God. And I feel that we were all made then.
Yeah.
We all existed then. Because in Psalm 139, David makes a couple of statements. He said, my frame was not hidden, in verse 15, my frame wasn't hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. your eyes beheld my unformed substance. When I was in the secret place, I think that's wonderful, because when God called all the sons of God together, you were amongst them. You were there. You existed then. He knew you then. You were ordained, you were destined to appear now. But you were with God then. You were alive then. You were known by God then. And your days were numbered. Your days were planned. He knew when you would appear. He knew what would happen all along the way. He knew the whirlwind you would go through. He knew the troubles, the trials, the joys, the pleasures. And he knew the end. And he says he's with you from beginning to end. He won't ever leave you. All is well. He's on your side and he's with you. There'll never be a day when you take him by surprise. There'll never be an event that catches him unawares. He knows it. He's made provision for it. So when the devil rattles your cage and you think he's pushed your button and think that everything's going down the spout, just a minute, get out the whirlwind and get into the quiet place and listen to the still small voice, because God is speaking to you and he's saying, I'm here, I'm here. Don't fear, fear not, fear not. At the same chapter in Job 38, and verse 21, which confirms that, yes, God says to Job, when he was asking him the questions and telling him that the sons of God came and presented themselves before him, he says, surely you know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Job, you were alive then, so tell me, how did I make the earth? How did I put it all together? How did I get it to stand and not totter? The same way he's still doing it. And they can tell us all the rubbish they want about global warming, about the earth's going to self-destruct and we're going to do it the highest damage if we don't get our act together. I tell you, did God not know that we'd have motor cars? Did God not know that we'd have power stations and atomic energy? And hey, all that knowledge came from God anyway. And my God's big enough to make provision for the earth, to secure it. No matter what man does, God will keep the earth secure. What did he say? Springtime and harvest. Winter and summer. The seasons will continue to go while ever the earth remains. It will not deviate from its course, because I've planned it that way. And I'm bigger than your global warming. Okay? Just a tax. God is in charge. Man needs to learn that. Job 38 and, no, we'll go a bit further. Job 42 and verse 5. Job went through a lot of stuff. And this is what, we go through a lot of stuff. And we were saying that don't think that because you know God, you're exempt from challenges. You're exempt from maybe a near-death experience. You are, like everyone else, things happen that take us unawares and we don't take kindly to. But God is in control. And when you've been through those experiences, what they actually do, you see God's power, you see his might, and nobody can steal you of that experience. It makes you stronger. And what the devil chooses to do to make you weaker, God allows it, because he's going to make you stronger and he's going to make you firm. And Job said in Job 42, after he'd been through his bad experience, in verse 5, he said, I'd heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. I think that's a beautiful verse. I'd heard all about you, But because of what I've been through, I now see you and I know you. And nobody can ever take this away from me. I'm rooted and grounded securely in you, knowing the length, breadth, depth and height of your love, knowing that you will never leave me, knowing that you will always bring me through. And Job was commended by God for his faithfulness. In all that happened to Job, he never blamed God. He never blamed God. He trusted God. His wife said to him, she's a type of Eve. She said to him, curse God and die. Let's be done with it. And he said, no. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What ultimate trust. God wants to bring us to that ultimate trust. It was interesting that Job, the reason God challenged Job in the way that he did was because Job was not going to die in this experience. Job, God was going to restore Job. And he did restore Job and he gave him double what he'd had before. He was exceedingly abundantly blessed. He was blessed before. He was very rich before. And when God had rewarded him and restored him, he was very, very rich. But before God restored him, he had to get Job's thinking right. He challenged him because he had to get Job's perspective right. Before he could bless him exceedingly abundantly, he had to get Job's perspective right. I'm in charge, Job. I'm the Lord God Almighty. I'm the one who's for you. I'm the one who will bring you through. I'm the one you can trust. I'm the one that loves you. I'm the one that will never leave you and forsake you. Job had to get his perspective right. And he said to Job, and Job, after he'd heard God and God had challenged him, he said, oh God, I repent in ashes. I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. And God said to him, I will restore everything to you when you pray for your friends. And God tells us, doesn't he? Pray for those who use you, who try to do you down. Don't curse your enemies, bless your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And his friends had given him bad advice. But God said, despite all that, you bless them, you pray for them, and I'll restore to you double what you've lost. That's a challenge, isn't it? Let's not get a bad attitude. Let's keep a good attitude. Let's bless our enemies and let God restore to us twice what the devil has tried to steal from us. Rebecca's been exceedingly abundantly blessed this week. She's even going to get holiday money that she never thought she was going to get. She says to me, really? I've got 35 days holiday pay to come. I'm so blessed. You know, God, I love it. It's like watching a baby develop. There's all these beautiful things that you keep finding out. And God must be so excited with us. He must get such a thrill when he sees our faces beaming because something good has happened. But I think it thrills him even more when he sees we're in the midst of trouble and still we're smiling, still we're rejoicing, still we're jumping for joy. Not because we see visibly what's happened, but we see the invisible. When you see the invisible, you can do the impossible. And that is rejoice in adversity. See him in everything. See the invisible God. He's for you. His arms are open out to you. He loves you with passion. He's never going to let you fall. He won't let go of you. He won't drop you. No, he's got you underneath and around about are the everlasting arms. And he's upholding you. He's upholding the world. He's got no problem holding you up. You know, think how heavy that world is. That's no problem to him, so why should we be a problem? No, no, no. He knows. In the last few verses, well, we've not read those first 17. How weighty in Psalm 139, verse 17. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I try to count them, they're more than the sand. I come to the end. I'm still with you. His thoughts towards you, this blows me out. His thoughts towards me are more than the grains of sand on the seashore. Do you think he loves you, Brendan?
Definitely.
He definitely does love you. His thoughts towards me are more than the grains of the sand on the seashore. How vast, how thoughtful, how loving, how weighty with love are your thoughts to me, God. In verse 19, David said, "Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me, those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." Sometimes when we... When you put the television on, sometimes you get flashes of what's coming on and your spirit recoils and you think, what trash, what junk. And they wonder why kids are doing what they're doing. They wonder why society's gravitating downwards to rapid pace. And they wonder why the prisons are full. You don't need to look further than your television screen. Because they're planting ideas in kids' minds that are just utterly ridiculous. Yeah. And they're sowing seed and they're reaping the harvest of it. Yeah. But we're of a different kind. We belong to God and God will protect us. He protected the children of Israel in the middle of Egypt. Everything that happened to the Egyptians, the Israelites were protected from. They didn't have to suffer what the ungodly suffered. So David said, "I hate everything." And yeah, getting back to that, when you see that, your spirit just gets angry and says, "I hate this, I hate the world and all that it tries to do and how it tries to poison men and women. I just want to see men and women born again of the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God within them. What a different life they would lead. What joy, what peace, what purpose." You'll never find fulfillment for life outside of God. Your life, if there's no God, your life has no meaning. Your life only has meaning when it's fulfilled with God in you. Look at Paul in Romans chapter 7. We look at the telly and we see those things that are abhorrent to us. But sometimes not every enemy is external. Sometimes there are lots of enemies within us, aren't there? We hear lots of voices saying, "You don't believe that." Rebecca heard a voice, "Well, it just could have happened." No, she'd prayed, she'd asked God. God made a way. These voices inside us can try and rationalise everything and try and work it out and put God out of the equation. Sometimes people have voices bringing horrible thoughts to them, and the devil wants you to live experiences that are offensive and telling you to do things. He's trying to all the time put you in temptation and to do stuff and to quit on God and to run away. He put that in Jonah's mind and Jonah did it. And, you know, we're all different. We all respond to different things and the devil knows how to push your button and he knows what to put in your mind to scare you or to try and scare you, to put you off God and to get you on the wrong track. Is a master at this, but hey, God knows your thoughts from afar. Wherever you go, he goes with you. You can't escape from him. He knows the challenge that the devil's putting you through, but he has an answer. He has the antidote. Don't try and do it yourself. Run to God, run to him, and don't run away from him when you have these awful thoughts or you recognize an enemy within. Don't run away from God, run to him, because he has the answer and he will bring you through. But Paul knew about all of this, and in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, he said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I don't understand my own actions, because I do what I don't want to do. I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I don't want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want to, but the evil I don't want to do, I do. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. Sin is not your nature. Your nature is God's nature. Your nature is good. Sin is an evil force, an enemy who gets within us and resides within us. And we have to resist him. So I find in verse 21, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my innermost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I'm a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh I'm a slave to the law of sin. And verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Jesus has made the victory for you. Yes, in ourselves we are wretched. We don't have the answers. We're being carried along sometimes by the enemy and his thoughts and his ways and the world's ways. And, you know, we get trapped sometimes. But God says, there's no condemnation to you. He understands. His love prevails. And in Christ Jesus, he will deal with everything that comes against us. We need to be in Christ Jesus. That's the only safe place. You're never safe outside. There's a process, don't we see, in Romans 8. We talked about it before in verse 30. He predestined us. He knew us before we were born. He chose us then. He justified us. We've just said, Romans 8, there's no condemnation. I'm justified. And he glorified us. It's all a process. You'll go through stuff. You'll go through experiences. But these experiences are going to bring out the glory of God in you. He's glorifying you. He's chosen you. He's justified you. He's in the process of glorifying you. He's bringing you from glory to glory till you radiate the image of Christ. And our response is, God, in Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. David threw himself on God and God's grace and he said, search me, God, and know my heart. I don't want these inner enemies. I don't want the external enemies, but even more, I don't want the inner enemies. But you know and you understand and you love me. These enemies can't drive your love from me. You love me still. You're constant. Your love cannot fail. Never, ever. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Let's get that settled here and now. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But you know, God wants us to allow him to search our hearts sometimes and pull out those weeds, those wicked ways that snare us and trip us up and give us a rough time. Sometimes it's not easy, is it? You know, when I was a kid, I'd go to my dad and I've got a splinter in my finger. In fact, even now I go to Andrew and say, I've got a splinter in my finger. Well, let's get the needle in there and let's dig it out. Oh, I'd rather not. And I'd run and hide from my dad and I'd, you know, you're not touching me with that needle. And eventually it coaxed me and coerced me until I had confidence to let him do it. And yes, the experience was painful, but afterwards, oh, I felt great. I felt much, much better. You know, when you've got a tooth, when you're a kid, hanging on your lip and it's wanting to come out and you don't pull it. And Papa comes up to you and he says, just come here a minute, and he's gone. Well, that's it. Praise God, it's over. Thank you, Jesus. And God just wants to do the same to us. He wants rid of these little splinters and these little things. But he needs your permission. He's a gentleman. He's not going to invade you. But you've got to say to him, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Test me. Know my thoughts, I pray. And lead me in the way everlasting. I love that. The way everlasting. Take away everything that's opposed to you, God. And let me go that good way. The good paths that you've got for me. They may not be the smoothest paths, but they're the good paths, the best paths, because he's planned them. Praise God. Amen.